Good morning, beautiful soul. At least it's the morning here. 5:28 a.m. to be exact. I hope you are well wherever you are in the world, whatever day it is. You could be listening to this next year. Isn't that fun? My goal with these episodes is to kind of share snippets of what our homeschool life looks like and how I work through different challenges, some of my thoughts around different subjects. So today I will talk about my conversation with the principal from the school. The Courage Festival, or the Festival of Michaelmas, that is upcoming. And math and academic learning. So, regarding the principal from my girls' school. As you know, if you've been following the podcast, last June, my girls attended a local public Catholic school for 2 weeks. And one of the things that parents are told is that if your child enters the education system, that you are quote unquote required to sign or to send in a letter of intent to homeschool every year to the school that your children attended. And I mean, this makes sense to do once, right? We need to tell the schools that we are no longer participating, just to let them know for the sake of their own organizational purposes. So I did. I sent in an email saying that we were intending to homeschool. This might have been my first mistake. And then there was a form to sign, which was like an online form saying that the children will no longer be attending that school. And it looks like a form that's like if they're transferring to another school, but you basically just say transferring to homeschool. And so I thought that would be it, that. But the school kept calling and kind of marking the girls down as absent from class. So we got an automatic call from the school every day and emails every day, my husband and I, every day. For like 3 weeks, I guess. And they had sent me another form, which was a form of intent to homeschool, which was created by, I guess, the French Catholic School Board, that they wanted me to sign and basically said that they would keep calling me until I signed that form. In this form, there are some paragraphs that I was not comfortable with. The part of the form that I was the most uncomfortable with, so basically it said something like, in the beginning it said, as the parent of my children, I am declaring that I will be schooling them at home. I will be sending in or that this form applies to this school year and these are my children's names. And then at the bottom, there's a paragraph that says, I agree to homeschool them according to the law of education. That's briefly what it said. And knowing what I know now, especially as I navigate the medical system, kind of with birth and supporting women in birth, I knew that there was something off in this to me. also the statement of I will homeschool according to the law of education did not sit well with me. And I was wondering, okay, what is this law on education? What does it mean? They did send a document that kind that outlined some of the requisites for homeschooling according to the law of education. And in that document, it basically said, if there are any concerns, we can come in and check on you. And honestly, I understand where this is coming from. I think that we do need, I don't know, need, it is good to have some systems in place that are checking in on families and kids so that we can know that the children, you know, are safe. We have encountered some family situations that are questionable. And I don't know where's the line that then the school or the government decides that the children need to be removed from their parents and from the home setting. I even have some homeschoolers in my community who feel that if someone were to check on them, that they would have some big questions, mostly because of choices around unschooling and, you know, just being wild in nature, which is, of course, these children are thriving. But, you know, they wonder what would outside people think. And it's sensitive times around these topics because there are people in the government who feel so righteous about their beliefs and philosophies, and they feel like they're saving everyone to be implementing them on others. I also do know through like the kind of radical birth world, I know families that have had some kind of child services called on them just because of choosing to free birth, just because of choosing to birth outside the system, for choosing alternative vaccine schedules. I have personally had people in my family threaten to do this to us, which is a pretty scary thing. And ultimately, all of these child services flaggings and visits didn't go anywhere because, from what I've heard anyway, from the people within child services, they're really looking for serious situations. And it does take a very serious situation where the child, there's like obvious harm being caused to the child and they're living an unsafe situation, for the child to actually be removed from a home. So I chose not to sign that form. I said, I don't like this. I don't want to sign it. And that was a big thing for me because usually we're just given a form and told sign this and we sign, right? I have not really been one to kind of look things over and think things over, you know, seriously, especially regarding anything more, I don't know, serious or set up or governmental like school. But I have a friend. I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of good friends. I have a friend who is studying law for mankind, sovereign law. I'm not even sure what to really call it, but it's basically true law that is the foundation of our law system here in Canada. That is like the foundation of our legal system. So like legal and law are two different things. And basically with contracts like these, we can make our law legal, if that makes sense. And my friend is teaching me some basic philosophies and principles around this. And one is that we have the lawful right to never be coerced into signing anything or entering any contract that we do not want to enter into. Right? So one of the reasons I do not want to sign this form of law of education is because they could change their law of education at any point. And because I will have signed a contract saying that I will abide by this law, they can then, you know, change the law and come after us for not following the law. That is like one, you know, aspect of it. And trying to get my thoughts clear here. That is, it's like a principle. It's a matter of principle for us. Also, we were so disappointed with the school that we don't feel like we want to be beholden to educate our children according to the education system, which is honestly lacking in so many ways. We want to make a stand of some kind. So yes, my friend was telling me you don't have to be coerced to sign any form. And one of the options could have been to, like, with a black marker, rule out some of the parts of the paragraphs that we weren't comfortable with, or even create our own form saying we will be keeping our children at home indefinitely until you hear from us. I also do not want to be doing this form every year when we don't plan to go back to the education system unless we absolutely have to. So I was kind of waiting to see how the school was going to react. And I got a call from the principal. I was actually at this friend's place when I got the call. And she was very nice on the phone. Of course, she's like a very nice, warm person. I also get the kind of intuitive sense is very calculated. So when she called, she was very nice on the phone. Oh, how are you doing? Yeah, the girls. So I totally understand that you don't want to sign the form. I can't force you to sign anything, actually. I understand that. And I have no concerns about what you're doing, about the girls. I think it's fine. And but I actually legally have to have something signed from you. And so I'm going to pass you on to Family Connections. I can no longer deal with this, and I need to pass you on to Family Connections. And so I just want to make sure with you that that's okay, that I've just, you know, send them your information, because I can no longer do this and I have to send it on. So I'm just making sure it's okay. And I was like, I kick myself, you guys. I kick myself because I had a weird feeling inside. I felt uncomfortable. I found that the question was oddly asked, because she was basically saying, I have to do this, but can I do this? And asking for my permission, which I didn't really, it felt odd, and I couldn't understand what was happening. And I asked, I think two or three times, who is Family Connections? We had this conversation in French, because with this French school board, they communicate with parents in French. And so in French, I was asking her, what is Family Connections? I asked her twice. And then eventually I asked, well, what is it in English? Because she just kept saying, well, it's just Family Connections. It's just Connexion Famille. It's just Family Connections. And in my mind, I'm thinking, is this child services? Is this CAS? But of course, it's got this like softer name. And so I ask, well, what is it in English? She says, Family Connections. I said, okay. I said, what is it? And she said, just Family Connections. She was not answering my question. And I said, yes. I said, okay, I guess. Like, I had this inner sense of like wanting to help her out because that's how she was painting it. I have to do this. You know, is it okay? And I said, I guess it's okay. She's like, okay, great. So yeah, I just want to see, you know, how the girls are doing and what are the things that you didn't like from the school. And oh yeah, you didn't like the TV at lunchtime. Well, we've now eliminated that from completely. You know, I didn't know that the teachers were doing that, which I know that's a lie, because the mother who runs the parent council at the school had told me that there were many concerns from parents around the TV watching at mealtimes. And I also mentioned about candy. She said, oh, the candy. Oh, yeah, that must have been one teacher. It was like a thank you gift at the end of the year. And I said, well, it was like, you know, fluorescent red and blue cotton candy in a plastic container that was given to my daughter, who is very sensitive to sugar. And I think that the school needs to be actually upholding higher levels, higher standards of, you know, diet and healthcare, and educating families, not bringing those levels down. And she said, oh yes, that must have been, you know, a one-off situation with a teacher. I'm going to speak to the teachers. And it honestly felt not very genuine. It felt like, it mostly felt like she was trying to maintain her reputation, knowing that I was going to be talking about the school and the community, et cetera. Because this cotton candy thing was apparently part of a fundraiser event that the school did. Yes, so that was the conversation with the principal. I was at my friend's farm, so then I went to go ask my friend's husband, who does all the law stuff. I was like, so this is what happened, and, you know, this what happens now with this family connections thing? And he said, well, you didn't have to give your permission. Ugh, I swore. I swore in front of the kids, not all the kids, the big kids. I was just so frustrated with myself. Of course I didn't need to give permission. I consented to something. I was kind of manipulated into doing so. And I consented to something I didn't want to do. And I didn't see it. And even my husband afterwards, I spoke to him on the phone and he said, why did you say yes? Like, she was asking you and you said yes. And I said, I know, but I couldn't tell what she was doing. So it was full on manipulation. You know, I didn't want to sign that form. And so then she said she has to pass me on to the next thing. That's her problem, right? That's her paperwork. She was asking for my permission to send my personal information and contact information, which is private, to someone else, right? So I could have totally blocked that and said, no, I don't want my information passed on to family connections. We Googled it afterwards. Of course, on the phone, I should have paused and breathed and taken my time and said, okay, I want to look into these people, who these people are, before I agree to send my information. And they are like a light version of childcare services. So I guess we're going to see what happens next. My partner is not concerned. My friend's husband is not concerned. There are no concerns for the children here. I don't feel very great about being on some kind of a list or flagged in any way. I have not yet received a call or anything. And basically the advice from my friend is to get everything in writing and not do conversations over the phone. If there is any conversation over the phone, to record it. And one thing that is important in this like law for mankind, sovereign law stuff is that as soon as you admit or take on the title of parent and consider your children, parent and child, you then fit under like all of these laws for parents and children, education, all that stuff. in Law for Mankind, you say that you identify as a man or a woman and that you are claiming ownership over your property, and basically your children are your property. And the laws around that are different. We actually have more sovereignty and protection over our children as naming them as property than as parent and child in the system of law. This is still something I'm learning about, but something I want to mention and talk about so that we can start these conversations, start thinking about these things and having this information in our back pocket. My husband does not love this stuff. He doesn't like the law stuff. He finds it all too kind of wordy and intellectual and unnecessary. He says, if they want to come and see what we're doing, let them come. We'll tell them what we're doing and how it's so much better than in the school. And I have no concerns. Now, I, on the other hand, have a few concerns. I know that there can be like some of these workers who are out on a vendetta to come after people who are standing up and doing things differently. For example, one of the Law for Mankind teachers out in Nova Scotia did have his children taken from him for, I think, 2 months, 2 or 3 months. They were kind of after him for other things that he was doing with the law and Law for Mankind out there. And I know this is scary, but keep listening. So using the principles of Law for Mankind, he got a settlement of $2.7 million for having his children taken away from him unjustly, basically. He made a claim that every minute, I don't know if it was every minute or every second, away from his children was worth $1. And he was able to prove that in court with a judge and was allocated $2.7 million and given his children back, of course. So, yeah, there are people kind of thinking about these concepts and challenging the systems. I'm very excited to learn more and report back. I feel like this is kind of how we can do like a soft revolution and make some changes. My partner is very frustrated with all of this wordiness stuff, and he feels like it will create a divide between the two people and the two different camps. And I can understand this too. So these are all the learnings that we are doing in that sphere of our life. So the second thing I wanted to talk about was this Michaelmas or Courage Festival, which we are kind of celebrating today and tomorrow. It's technically September 29th is like the celebration day of Archangel Michael, Saint Michael, who is like the angel in the heavens of courage and strength, and that we can call upon when we need those qualities. And in the Waldorf schools, in the Waldorf pedagogy, they highly encourage or put a strong emphasis on festivals, bringing the community together, celebrating, and also coming into this sense of reverence of certain qualities and energies, and also marking the year, the calendar year. So it's kind of, you know, like we have our traditions. I grew up celebrating Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter, but without a depth to, right? It was just kind of like these surface automatic things that we did with my family. We didn't have like song or prayer or spirituality brought into it. It was mostly just about gift giving. I like Thanksgiving because it's about, you know, making a beautiful meal and family and yeah, I guess I would like to see more like thanks for the earth and thanks for the farmers, really honoring and being reverent for what they do for us. And at this time of year, as we have just passed equinox and we're coming into the dark season, Michaelmas is like a celebration of courage. And they often tell the stories of defeating the dragon. There's a story of like St. George and the dragon. I shared the book in my Instagram feed, a book that we love. It's got beautiful pictures of plants and the designs. The artwork is incredible. The language used in the book is also very rich. And it tells a story of a knight who is sent by the queen of the fairies to help the world. And this princess, Una, finds him and asks him to come help her in her kingdom that is being tormented by this dragon. And then after like this big battle, he slays the dragon and, you know, there's a big celebration in the end. And I have been sitting with this idea of the dragon and slaying the dragon. I have seen a few different things mentioned, and I guess I'll take the opportunity here to talk about it a little bit. My eldest is also in grade 3 Waldorf. They go over the Old Testament stories, and I've been kind of like going through the Old Testament a little bit myself and some of the stories and struggling through them. I find it very patriarchal, and I find that personally, I feel like the Bible is not pure. I think that it was meddled with people with certain intentions to control people and to put women down to control women's power, really. So I take the Bible stories with a grain of salt, but I do think that there are a lot of powerful messages and some old ancient stories that I do want my daughter to know about. My partner, I'll talk about him a lot because I find that he and I sometimes have very different views on things. And it could be a point of contention, but I also truly appreciate having a different perspective and a different viewpoint given to me. He says, like, I'm so tired of these stories. Let's move on and have new stories. Why are we thinking about the Old Testament stories? Let's move on. Because I've been talking to him about my thoughts about this. The slaying of the dragon is sort of related to the snake in the story of Adam and Eve. One of the things that I've found in my research of and my thought thinking about, you know, the world and the history of humanity is this idea of, I guess, the ages in astrology. For example, you have probably heard that we are entering the age of Aquarius. There's some discussion as to when that would have actually started. Some people say it started in like the 50s, 70s. Some people said it started in 2012. Some people said it's like still coming. But we know that we're in a turning point of the age of Aquarius. And they actually work backwards. So before we were in the age of Pisces, before the age of Pisces, we were in the age of Aries. Before the age of Aries, we were in the age of Taurus. And before the age of Taurus, we were in Gemini. Okay, and briefly, this coincides with the age of Gemini when humans began speaking and writing and drawing, like in old human history. Creating language basically and tools and learning how to use tools, which is a very like hands-on work, which is Gemini rules the hands and communication and Mercury and innovation. Then we were in the age of Taurus, which is a female sign, right? It's ruled by Venus, and it was the time of the matriarchal societies, the times of the veneration of the bull and of the earth. And then we came into the age of Aries, which is ruled by Mars, and it's kind of like a patriarchal, it's a male sign. It's the sign of the war god. And And so the stories of the Jews and the Hebrews in the Old Testament are very much influenced by this Aryan Martian energy. Then as we move forward, we have the Piscean time, which is like the time of Jesus. The right, one of his symbols is the fish, and Pisces is ruled by Jupiter, which is the spiritual religious planet, planet of the teacher, planet of expansion. And so we saw a lot of like conquest and expanding of the modern developed world in the name of religion. And now as we come into Aquarius, it's more ruled by Saturn, which is a genderless sign, just saying. The Saturn is kind of like represented by an old, really old person who, because they're older, it's like you're not sure are they man or a woman, you know, like as we grow older, are the differences between the sexes kind of goes away. I've seen this mentioned before, where like a man's voice kind of like elevates a little bit and women's voices can become lower. It's more of a gender neutral sign. And it's also, Aquarius is also a sign of innovation, but like bigger and deeper than Mercury, if that makes sense. I feel like I could explain that a lot better, but anyway, that's the gist. So when I read the Bible, I think of how the Old Testament is really ruled by Mars. And when the time of Mars and that time of that patriarchy really came and settled in, they were looking the unhealthy version of that. Now, I actually believe that not all of this is unhealthy. I think that part of it is just the evolution of the earth, the evolution of humanity as a species, kind of energetics that we just had to go through as we were evolving and growing and learning as a species. And that there were some positive elements that came out of these different phases and some, I guess, negative elements. For example, in the time of in the Martian times, we had a lot of incredible engineering projects and learning that were created. Like the Romans are very much influenced by Mars, and what they built was pretty amazing for their time, right? And their learnings in terms of mathematics and all the things influence our world still in a positive way. The Asian cultures that are also like strongly ruled by Mars have the beautiful arts of martial arts, which can have a very like wholesome, holistic feel to them and effect from them. So when the patriarchy kind of came in, there's the unhealthy version of that was trying to like squash and squander the power of the woman, the power of the divine feminine, that can be represented by the snake or the dragon, like that creative force. In yogic traditions, they talk about like the Shakti energy that is like a coiled up snake, right? The Kundalini, that is a coiled up snake at the base of the spine, and that rises up the spine through the energetic channels to the crown chakra at the top of the head. I was going to say at the moment of enlightenment, but I actually know people personally who have had Kundalini rising experiences, and it wasn't necessarily full enlightenment, but anyway, it can be an experience, and it is represented by the snake. And so, yes, the snake and dragon are interrelated, and I do believe that this idea of like the snake being the devil, or you know, dragons being evil and having to conquer and slay them, is kind of representing of this like divine feminine creative force that, from in the perspective of this kind of way of thinking, has to be squashed and squandered, and that they say we need to elevate beyond that, come into like rational thinking, come into the mind, and squash these elements. Now, I'm sure some people might have like a different take on these stories and on the snake and the dragon. I'm open to hear them and share them on the podcast. This is just my perspective at the moment can change. So in the stories of St. George and the Dragon, we have these male knights who are slaying dragons. And the idea is to kind of bring out these elements of courage and facing our fears. And now, in that vein, I do want to read an excerpt that came from Waldorfish. They sent this to me because I was asking about their thoughts on the dragon and the snake and things like this. So let me read this to you. So this comes from Liz Beaven in an email to the Alliance for Public Waldorf Education. Elements have been added to reflect a school's location and context. It is typically named a festival of courage or a harvest fall festival. Courage is a key element reflected in its popular name. As daylight recedes and night becomes longer, we need to help our students and ourselves connect to and strengthen our inner light of courage. This can be an empowering message for children. Courage allows us to stand for what is right, to trust our inner compass. Deeds of courage may be reflected in stories of pageants, of overcoming and allowing good to triumph. Traditionally, stories included battling and overcoming a dragon as a symbol of destruction. This needs careful consideration, as dragons are revered in many cultures. An excellent example of the need for cultural awareness and sensitivity and for dialogue with community stakeholders. A large body of poems, songs, and stories lead up to and accompany the Festival of Courage, or Michaelmas, in an independent Waldorf school. These also require careful review with a public school lens for suitability and possible adaptation. The Festival of Courage is often celebrated school-wide with assigned rules or activities for different grades. As with most festivals, there may be associated activities, perhaps including selected grades making wooden swords or designing and making shields. The festival often includes traditional festival games as part of the celebration. In considering celebrating this Festival of Courage or any festival, it is important to ask about local traditions and indigenous practices that mark the harvest and the approaching cold and darkness. Are there resources or advisors available to us in the local community? How could these practices be reflected and incorporated in a festival in meaningful ways that are not cultural appropriation? Community service is a wonderful aspect of a Festival of Courage. Given its harvest associations, can we engage our students in meaningful service related to harvest, care of the earth, or the preparation of food? The Festival of Courage has a timeless message of steadfastness, hope, and human possibility. It emphasizes gratitude, inner resolve, and resilience. It is an ancient festival with a contemporary purpose. Meaningful festivals anchor all of us in nature and the cycle of the year, providing great reassurance in a time of rapid change. As with any festival, this Festival of Courage requires our school communities to dig into its elements and bring it with meaning, cultural sensitivity, and inclusiveness. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, if you're not familiar with Waldorf education, that's kind of some of the background stuff that they consider when bringing, you know, anything to the children. And so it's very important for the adults running and holding the space and the energy for these different festivals to be strongly grounded in their deeper meanings. And that will kind of infuse anything that is done with the children. So that being said, around the themes of the dragon, I'm still telling some stories of defeating the dragons. My girls love the book St. George and the Dragon, I think because it's very balanced. The female character of Una and the male character of George and the scary dragon. Although I don't like the idea of slaying dragons, I find that the story just feels very wholesome and balanced. Now, of course, there is a very like princessy, female, womanly princess and a very male, knightly man. And in Jungian psychology, they suggest that the different archetypes are present in us all. and that we have elements of, you know, all of these, of the dragon, of the princess, of the knight. And so although it is like a very gendered story, I do find there's great value in it. And I don't read it so that my children can be like the princess, like the prince or princess, according to their genders. I read it to just as a story that will be landing in their psyche and that we will bring upon later. So my plan in the future, in their teen years, is to have these kind of deeper conversations and to help them see that all of these elements are present within themselves, and they get to choose how they want to bring out and live out the knight within them, the princess within them, the king and the queen within them, the dragon within themselves, and to find them and explore them. So what we will be doing today, I have my pod with my French group. We're going to keep it pretty simple. I would love to have more elaborate festivals one day. So what we will be doing today is we have been making and preparing our swords. Now the swords for me represent sometimes like what we learn in anything that we learn actually is like a tool. And it can be used for good or for bad, right? For elevating ourselves and others, or, you know, putting ourselves down or putting others down. And so there's, you know, should be great respect for the tools that we have. And this is something that I'm bringing to this idea of the sword. For 3 weeks, the children have been working on their swords, sanding them, painting them, and they've been having to wait all this time before they can have their swords and play with them. Today, we will be talking about the qualities of a knight, like honesty and kindness. One big interesting question that came from my daughter was, well, do we have kindness towards our enemy? If we want to kill them, she's very much into like battles and wars at the moment. If we want to defeat our enemies, do we have kindness for them? And I thought that was a great question that I will be going over with more of the older children. The younger children can, you know, hang around if they seem interested in the conversation. And tomorrow we will have a little festival at my friend's farm. We're going to share a meal, might have a discussion about courage and these elements that I just spoke about with the parents, so that they can bring this into the dark season that we are coming into. And keeping it very simple, but eventually, we have also been learning some songs that all the children know that we will, you know, sing for the festival. And it's kind of a nice way to close out September, which is like very busy. The weather has been gorgeous. So it has been busy getting back into the routine, getting into school, schoolwork. I find it a wonderful festival of harvest. I had bigger ideas, but I'm keeping it simple, you guys. Okay, lastly, I wanted to speak about academic learning. And every child is so different. I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for every learning opportunity with all the children I work with. My eldest daughter is very interesting because she is very intelligent. And also, math is a slow thing for her. She doesn't really care about it. So she really has to force herself to understand the concepts and do any of the math work. And yeah, it's slow for her. And I, growing up as a child, loved math. It felt so comfortable to me. I felt like finally there was something that like the rule, it was more, I could control it, I guess. And the rules were so clear. And so for me, I loved it and I took to it very quickly, and I'm learning to have a lot of patience with my daughter and slowing things down, not doing as much in a day. I have like some frustration that can come up when I just feel like you can just get this now. And I actually remember having the exact same, you know, experiences with my own dad Like, he would get so frustrated with me. And so I really am working on toning it down. This is for any kind of homeschooling mom out there or parent out there that, you know, I hear you if you have frustrations with your kid. But it has been so beautiful to get to know who she is, to try to understand, you know, what makes her click. She likes languages. She's very emotionally intelligent. We have very deep conversations about emotional things. We studied also the yin and yang sign, and we were talking about how, you know, we can sometimes think that things are only black and white, but that there's more mixing than we think, and that it's also all part of a whole. She understands these concepts on like a deep level, and has a lot of compassion for people. So yes, I suppose I wanted to go a little bit more longer about the math part, but I think that sums it up. We had some frustrations last week. My five-year-old, I'm still kind of finding my balance as to what to do with her. I feel like I should have more prepared, tell her more stories. She has more endurance for listening to different stories. She can understand richer language, which is like a big change. And she has some molars growing in. That's so exciting. Her six-year-old molars are starting to come through. She's 5.5. So she will soon have her teeth falling out, which is earlier than her sister. And that means she will really be ready for more lesson-y type things, which I'm so excited to do with her. I have no idea how I'm going to navigate doing it with, you know, the 2-3 of them. Oh my goodness. So I think that's about it for the homeschool diaries. We did visit Riverstone Academy last week too, which was amazing. They have 20 kids, and they actually have the school on their personal private property now in an old garage. Well, it's not old garage. It's a gorgeous like log cabin type garage that is so beautiful and has been converted into a little schoolhouse, a heated, beautiful space. And they have 20 children with 3 teachers, 3 adults present. And it's a private club. So it's not technically a school, which means that they fall under different regulations. And I shared some, you know, some on my stories, my Instagram stories about what that looked like. It was very beautiful, incredible, beautiful space. And the children looked happy and the adults were like really excited and happy to be there. 2 of them are moms of the kids and 1 is like an older teacher who has a lot of experience. And I find that they have a beautiful team of adults that are, you know, that balance each other out. And this is something that, yeah, we are considering for the future for our kids. I think especially for the teen years, like community and working on projects, working in a group is going to be very important. So it's something that I think about, you know, in the next 2-3 years, 4 years, what do we want to have exist for our children, for our eldest, for our next 2 coming? What does the community need? What do I even want to do personally? These are all things that I'm sitting with. So yes, thank you for listening. If you guys want to reach out or have any comments or questions about any of the topics discussed today, please don't hesitate to do so via the email address on my website or on Instagram or on Telegram. All of the links are in the show notes below. I wish you a beautiful week. And wish me luck for this day that I've gotten up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And now I have all these kids, I think 12 children coming today to our home. All right. Au revoir.